the Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Jody Jackson going to chop it up with us today. Had a lot of people that have asked, why have you not chopped it up with Jody after what happened with the Diamondbacks and Valley Sports and what's going to happen with her and the Coyotes and so much stuff with Jody Jackson, and she is going to, she's going to be with us. I don't know how in-depth we're going to get because it's so fresh for her, but it's always appreciate having Jody come on the show. Jordan Hamm caught up with Johnny Manziel, and usually here on the stream show, I don't bring that over. It's prepackaged, and I've looked at today putting on a whole bunch of guests about the college football stuff. But really, right now, it's just stuff. You know, it's burning guests about what might happen tonight, and I'll get into that here in a minute on the news and notes. But I just felt like having Johnny Manziel with Jordan Hamm is better content today. So we'll have that on the stream show as well. Jared Nielsen is the chairman of the board. Anything goes wrong with this show, it's his fault, not mine. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their support. Yeah, this could be a long day. It's actually already been a long day. It started really early this morning because in our world, there's people on the East Coast. There's people that are consultants, they're media consultants, they're business people, they're not football coaches. And I've spent a lot of today trying to figure out who's lying. It seems to me that as we sit here taping this right now, well, live as you're watching it, but as you're watching it through the rest of the day, at 10:16 PST, Pacific Standard Time, it seems to me that there's three options for Arizona, probably four options for Arizona State with what is happening with college football. I believe that the Pac-12, as we know it, will either cease to exist by about this time tomorrow, or there'll be some clarity finally and some unity, and there is going to be. You have to understand, there's media outlets that want nothing more than to put their own agenda out there. Shocking, isn't it? Shocking. Like, trying to look at everything from all these perspectives, like when I see this stuff on social from people that are tied to Arizona State, like, you're just going to say everything's great no matter how it goes, even if it's not. So that's nonsense. Same with U of A. There's just these people that they're just cheerleaders. That's all they are. They're just, rah, rah, everything's great. Click here. Like, nah, it's not really what we're supposed to be doing here. We're supposed to be looking at this objectively. I know that's changed in our society because of politics. And if you just say something loud enough because you're going to say it, and it's all great that people are going to believe it, that actually happens. It's shocking. I'm just not wired that way. So if that's what you're looking for, please press escape. Don't stay here, because we're not going to do that. This is looking at it objectively down the middle, looking at things and saying, okay, what are the options? Really, let's just start there. What are the options? And I think the instability of the Pac-12, we know that tonight there's an Arizona Board of Regents meeting. It is tonight. It's going to be live streamed. I'll probably spend some of my time tonight watching a live stream of Presidents Crow and Robbins. I'm not going to sit and watch preseason NFL football tonight. That's not happening. I think I'd rather watch, I don't know, paint dry than that. That's not where I'm at on this. I think the magnitude of the moment tonight to see how President Robbins addresses this versus President Crow addresses this, if they do address it, what kind of questions do they ask? I'm not saying anything that's a state's secret. Michael Crow's done great things at Arizona State. He doesn't care about athletics. He may say he cares, doesn't care. Proof's in the pudding. President Robbins, big sports fan, got a great national brand for basketball, an unbelievably strong brand for their basketball program. And so would Arizona State dare follow? Because that's what's happening here. You may get it all into the Wildcats versus Sun Devils nonsense, but that's what's happening here. If U of A, and I have said this repeatedly, can the Board of Regents say, yeah, U of A, you run off and go to the Big 12. ASU, you got to stay behind. It's pretty clear that Arizona State is following, is pretty much the Board of Regents are going to say, yeah, you have to do this. That's one way to look at it. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Okay, let's go through the Apple TV side of it. Again, I'm talking to media consultants, not people in the athletic department that get a paycheck from a university, so they're going to say everything's great. So Apple TV, it's really interesting. Apple TV comes in at $20 million or thereabouts. The Pac-12 schools would take. And immediately there's this, oh, that's a joke. It's 11.5 million less than what we'd get in the Big 12. And this is terrible. And this is, and it's people that don't know technology. It's people that are just used to having cable or rabbit ears or just saying, this is how I've always consumed my team. I'm not going to do anything that is pay for play. Let me fill you in on something. If you're watching on Hulu, you're paying for it. You're watching on any streaming service, you're paying for it. You're paying cable, you're paying for it. So, and I don't know, you may not be somebody that likes Apple. I'm not going to watch it if it's on Apple. I don't like Apple. Okay, that's your problem. That's a you problem. Apple ends up doing things that are life-changing for people, and they're the, one of the biggest, strongest brands in the world. So what if Apple said, we're going to take the Pac-12, we're going to do it at $20 million, and let's just say, I don't know, have you looked lately at what's gone on to Disney's stock price? Whew, right here, I'm a stockholder. Have you seen what ESPN did where they tossed lots of good people out in the street and said, you're all gone, we're cutting, we're cutting, we're cutting. And it's not the first time, it's not the second time, it's the third time they've done this. So there's a saying in media, don't piss off the mouse. Mouse is pissed. So if Disney says, well, ESPN, get goodbye, thank you for playing, good riddance. You don't think Apple swallow them up? You don't think they have the money? Swallow them up? What if Apple said, you know what, we're going to carry the Pac-12 over here right alongside the SEC that's part of the ESPN portfolio. Just we're really clear about that. How would that go over? And what if, just to say what if, Apple decides, well, what if we got in the NIL space? It'd be kind of cool. So all of a sudden, Apple, well, they're only giving us $20 million. That's today in 2023. 2 years ago, the Big 12 conference was DOA. It was not going to happen. And what do we? What's happened in the span of 2 years? Things have moved so quickly. Well, they have a media deal in place. Larry Scott was a main culprit in all this. But the Pac-12 drug their feet. Yes, they did. There's no question about it. I actually agree with the commissioner that the media landscape is changing. Everybody's looking at what it looks like on August 3rd of 2023, when the better question is, the smarter minds, people I talk to, are saying, you know, you got to look at what this is going to resemble in 2025, 26, 27. ESPN gets cut loose. They get acquired. I don't know, are media acquisitions happening all over the place? Yes. Are companies being cut? Sure. Could Apple as an NIL partner be a game changer? Okay, so I think Apple TV, there's some merit there. Big 12. Big 12 is pretty obvious. I wrote this back in 2017 that Arizona State and Arizona should get out of the Pac-12. I still subscribe to that theory. The idea of traveling to Pullman, Washington to play a football game on a network that nobody sees because the people that were in charge, that's the other point on this. You guys are going to trust these people to make a smart decision? Seriously. Like, you're going to trust the university president at Arizona State to make a smart decision when it comes to a media deal for sports after what he did alongside Larry Scott? You're really going to trust him? If you say yes, then you do have a check that's coming from Arizona State, and that's the only reason why you defend him. That's it. Big 12, $31 million. If they give you a full share, it's $31 million. Well, Apple TV is at $20 million today. Could be very much a different story in a few years. Streaming's coming. You don't like streaming? That's a you problem. It's everywhere. This is what people are watching sports on. Then there's the Big Ten. I happen to think if you take a kind of a different approach on the Big Ten, could the Big Ten form a Pac-12 or a Big Ten West? Big Ten West region for television distribution. They already have UCLA and USC. What's been the biggest knock on the Big Ten? You know, these poor kids are going to have to get on a plane and they're going to have to go to Madison, Wisconsin to play volleyball, or they're going to have to play softball at, Michigan State or Penn State, Rutgers. Well, what if there was a Big Ten West? And again, these are media consultants that I've been talking to. These are people that look at this, not my team on a Saturday. It's just like, okay. And it's not even about number of television sets. This is purely economics of doing a deal where you, if you go to the Big 12, your travel budget, you're going to have some long flights. Yep. Do I think the West Virginia, when this is all said and done, is still going to be part of that conference? Hell no. Not no, hell no. Not this year, maybe next year. Point is we're going to a super conference with the SEC that will swallow the ACC up. Look at what Florida State's been saying here in the last 24 hours. Then the Big Ten is going to be the other superpower. And they control the media market of Chicago. Notre Dame is the wild card in all of this. In all of this. This isn't about Arizona State making a conference or not making a conference. The conference will be fine with or without them. It's not like they're bringing cachet when it comes to athletics. U of A basketball, that's cachet. You put U of A in the Big 12 alongside of Kansas, that moves the needle all day long. So if you go to if you look at the Big 10, if you're like, you know what? I'm President Crow. I think we should probably stay put right now in the PAC. Do I believe that there is that conversation? Yeah, I do. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. It doesn't mean I trust them. So this is a lying season today. There's a lot of lying and misdirection that is going on because these conferences are all trying to get to each other. When it gets floated out that Oregon, Washington, Stanford, Cal, could all go to the Big Ten, alongside of UCLA and USC already being there. And you're Arizona State and you're Arizona, and you're saying, well, maybe if we sit tight, we end up in the Big Ten. And there's always the, well, you don't want to get left behind. That's the easy answer. We don't want to get left behind. You don't want to get left behind. Let me just fill you in on something. These guys were left behind in 2012 because of just such bad management and advice given to this conference and the arrogance. There's just an arrogance of this conference. There just is. I don't know why. And there's some really good people, but there's an air of like, we have this all figured out. No, you don't. That's why you're in this mess. And this could end up being a big shiny moment for you. It could. So yeah, there's a bunch of different ways to go. Tonight will be very interesting. The instability, is it you just stay where you are? And I think staying where you are and doing nothing, saying that this Pac-12 deal on Apple is a bad deal all the way around, I don't believe that to be true. I also don't believe that every last detail is out there. We're only reading what's being floated. The Big 12, that's the easy move to make. If the Board of Regents allows U of A to go, does ASU want to follow them? Does Michael Crow want to be the one that follows the University of Arizona? Because it certainly wasn't Arizona State leading the charge on this. Let's be really clear about that. Or sit tight and let's see where the Big Ten goes. Because I think there's merit there. There's merit to jumping. There's not a bad decision. From my view, there's not a bad decision. And from the people that I talk to, there's not a bad decision. Bad decision would be just outright saying, well, we're not going to do Apple TV and we're just going to continue to sit here and do nothing. That's probably the worst move that could be made. If you look at Apple, you just kind of say, all right, I'm willing to bet that in a couple of years, it's not like the football programs are going to go away. You're going to go chase a program just because Colorado jumped in? What's Colorado exactly done to Dan Lanning's point? U of A, I get, national brand. We brought up the ACC being involved with the Pac-12, having an East and a West. You don't think U of A basketball with North Carolina and Duke? You don't think that moves the needle? Serious? So there's a bunch of different options. Usually on Fridays, we run the TV show back. We still may do that tomorrow if things don't get settled tonight, but I am having a feeling that we're going to put something together for tomorrow. So there's that. Jody Jackson is next. Chopping it up with Jody. And then Johnny Manziel with Jordan Hamm. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, chopping it up with the one and only Jody Jackson for a few minutes. Jody is getting ready for her son's season of high school football. She's got a daughter that's doing stuff in sports. The big question is, are you going to make everything this year because things have changed in your world since we've talked last? I don't know how open you can be about what happened at Bally's. If you're just like, Brad, turn the page, next topic. But let's just start there, because I've had a lot of people said, what happened with Jody and Todd? And, you know, as open as you want or don't want to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty, what happened with Todd and I is that luckily we're continuing to do what we were doing, you know, which we love doing it. And we're just doing it now on the MLB broadcast. Everything going on with Bally is still kind of going on. So there's not a lot I can say right now about it, but just that I'm thankful that we're part of that. Hoping the best for everyone, of course, that I was working with there for so many years. You probably saw my Facebook post.
I did.
A lot
it was
of emotion pouring out. I really just felt the need at that time, that week that, I was no longer part of Bally after 23 years and then now moving over to MLB where, again, I mean, there's my Bally family, then there's my D-backs family, there's my Coyotes family, there's, Cardinals. I used to cover the Suns and ASU. I feel very blessed to be part of a lot of this. But at the heart of it all was always the Fox and the Bally group, right? Because that when I came to town, I was literally covering everything. The first 6 years were the Arizona Sports Report. And in a way, it's funny, Brad, I just thought of this just now, is that first 6 years planted the seed with like everyone in town. I covered the Mercury, I covered the Rattlers, I covered, again, like I said, ASU, even U of A to some extent, although Todd usually covered that part of it. But I mean, it's just, that was the foundation for me. And those people that I worked with, and many of them did leave over the years or took different jobs, but there are still, gosh, I should probably try to count them, but I mean, 10 or 12 people that were there for the better part of 20 years. So it's a little emotional when, that happens, even though we're all still going to be friends and we're all still going to talk a lot, but we're not going to, be working on daily projects together.
Have you had the why conversation with yourself about it? Here's why I bring that up. When I run into people or talk with people that are in our business, and it's been a dang long run, which you've had, and then all of a sudden it ends. Is it the why, or I'm just happy that it happened? I mean, did you have to come to grips with it? I'm getting a little deep with you on it, but is it just something that, like, wow, that was 23 years like that?
It did go fast, but I mean, what's funny is, yeah, and one of the things in the post was this, it's the saying, don't cry because it's over, but, smile because it happened. Yeah. And especially in this world today, and I don't know if I would say this, even if we haven't gone through, we talk about inflation and the economy and so many people struggling. And I think that was also the case 20 years ago. There's always people struggling. And so for me to be in the same job, in the same framework for 23 years is, I really feel like I'm having a lack of perspective and sight if I'm saying, oh, woe is me, because how, grateful for that. So, and then I'm really not, I'm excited about what else is happening, other things that can happen by nature of being kind of more out on my own and conducting business on my own. And I don't want to, we don't have to talk about this here because you can read it in the business journals, but we know why it's happening around the country. And it's actually, I can even broaden it out. I think with our business, long story short, is just the way that we watch games has changed. That's affected the business. We all know that. People at home know that because they've changed the way they watch the games. You know, very few people have that cable model. And so that's the root of it. But I even look at my friends in the, you know, again, the writers over the years, and you've seen this, Brad, because you're like me in town, you know, and you're close and you're friends with all these people that we've known for so many years. And how many writers have we known that have been laid off multiple times?
Right.
And luckily, a lot of them are surfacing, you know, and then they'll kind of switch jobs. And I mean, I'm so thankful for, because a lot of them are my very good friends. And luckily, they're finding work, but not all of them are finding work. Many of them have left for non-journalism, non-sports jobs. And so, yeah, the business is changing a lot. So the whole media industry.
When you teach, you're going to teach again this fall at Crockett?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Are you going to stand up and walk them through what you just went through? It's not negative. Like when I taught at Crockett, yeah, I was very straightforward. I was just told one day, you've been here too long, you've been too loyal, you make too much money, your employee ID number came up, and we have a billboard campaign for a radio group in LA we have to cut. That's what they said.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, but I'm not bitter about it. It's just, I think being truthful to those that want to be in this business about, mm-hmm, Jody Jackson did nothing wrong. That's what I tell when people are like, oh my gosh, what happened to Jody? It's the business. The model has changed. But so I'm curious, when you teach, are you going to be wide open about, just so you know, this is what you're walking into, or is that too deep for an 18-year-old?
No, I mean, it's funny because I have there's a colleague of mine that used to do the intern lunch and learns, Dave Halpern, who's our camera person along with Rusty Francisco in the early years. And he used to, the big thing he would have me tell everyone is, tell them the hours, tell them the holidays, tell them you can't go to your family's holiday dinner. You can't. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things, right? And then for me, I mean, again, a lot of these young people, they look at me and they say, I don't think they can even fathom 23 years at the same place, because that's probably not what they're trying to do. It wasn't what I was trying to do when I came here.
Right.
I mean, and as I wrote in my post, it was probably because not that I was planning to be here for 2 years and jet elsewhere, but, you know, I think mainly it was because I found my way. I found my people. I found my husband at Sun Devil Stadium, which is now called something else. It was the Pac-10 then. I mean, so you talk about change. I mean, it's just, if you're around long enough, change happens. So, I mean, I probably won't spend too much time on it because honestly, Brad, I don't think that they, and all they know is, and I'm sure they don't care about that either. I don't mean to make students sound uncaring, but I mean, I was on TV every night. Most of those kids were not seeing me. I still will be on TV, hopefully, mostly every night. And those kids won't see me because when I was in college, I didn't watch TV at night very much. So many things were happening in my life. So I'll share the experience, sure. But I think the lesson, and you know this, the lesson doesn't change. You still do your job. If you do a good job at what you're doing and your process doesn't change, and you connect with people on a human level as well as doing the job, because I do think that is important. And I learned that more through the years. If you're not able to talk to people and communicate with them on a kind of a, I mean, you don't have to be like-minded with everyone, but just
right,
kind of a real person to them, and hopefully them the same back to you, those things won't change. You'll be fine. You'll get a job.
No,
always get the job you want right away, but you will get a job that you like, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I think something that, and by the way, if I want to communicate with my kids, I have to do it here. They're not going to watch our show, so that's just.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, they'll be like, oh, did you see what happened last night? I'm like, yeah, I was there. I did the post-game show. What do you think? Did I see what happened?
That's so great. That's so
I
great.
Interviewed the guy.
right. They threw water on him. You didn't see my reaction, you know? It's,
whatever.
Yeah. Jody Jackson with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, so Coyotes, what's going on? Can you talk about the Coyotes? This, again, if people ask me, like, I don't know. I'm going to chop it up with her. If she can't say anything, she can't say anything. Can you
know what's weird is, I don't know, like, Brett Hansen is, I used to always go to Brett, hey, Brett, I'm going to be on these shows. I'm going to be doing this. And I don't have Brett anymore to, like, tell me what I'm doing and what I'm saying. I mean, he never told me what to say, but it's like, no, I can't. I honestly, I'm not even filtering. I don't really know a lot. I mean, we all know that they are getting ready for their season. Yep. There's actually a lot of excitement about their season. And I am excited for that as well. And regardless of the arena, you know, I think we all were very disappointed and really heartbroken over the arena situation. I'm hopeful that they'll find a good solution. Mullet Arena is, it's weird to feel this way because, you know, it's not a good plan. You know, it's not a money-making plan going forward, but it is such a cool place. Mm-hmm. And everyone I know loves to go to games there. So I'm like excited for a season of hockey at Mullet Arena, even though, again, it's a problem, but it's so wonderful in the short term, and excited to, you know, possibly be doing those games as well. Again, I mean, I don't think for Todd and I mean, we, our lives have been so, you know, it's just been the same process all the time. And we get excited for that process every year. And nothing changes now, whether it, yeah, I don't know if it will change. I'm hopeful that it won't. So we'll just see what happens. I'm excited to see what happens. It's going to be okay.
Okay. Here's another one. You're married to a Sun Devil. Yes.
Yes.
Are you hoping that they stay in the Pac-12 or go to the Big 12 or hold out and go to the Big 10 or go to Apple TV? Have you guys had this discussion about where Arizona State's going to end up? Because that's the story today, tonight. It's what everybody's talking about. I'm just curious. I mean, you have no dog in the fight because you're a Hurricane, right? You're Miami, Florida. And so you don't care.
Well, I mean, I care about the college landscape in general, but yeah, I mean, I guess for me, to answer your question, Brad, sadly, we have not talked about it. My husband, Chad, is extremely busy right now with a number of projects in his world, and I'm pretty busy as well. I don't really fully understand everything that's happening, to be honest with you, because,
That's all right.
You know, even though I used to be out there every day, I mean, in the Dirk Cutter years and the Dennis Erickson years, and Rob Evans and Herb Sendek, I was there every day covering those teams, and I was really dialed in, and I'm just not as dialed in anymore. But we have tons of friends. I mean, his network of Sun Devil people, you know, are all out here on the West Coast, and all of our friends are wondering what's going to happen. I don't really know. It is sad. I mean, when I came out here, I remember covering my first call. I remember going out, I would cover games at Sun Devil. I would go to went 1 year, the Rose Bowl. The quarterback for ASU was Ryan Keeley. That's how long ago that was.
Yeah.
Andrew Walter years. I mean, those were exciting games, and the Pac-10 to be, I actually missed the Pac-10 and now here we are. So you know way more about it than I do as far as what's going to happen. Yeah. I hope they land in a place where it will be very sad if the U of A ASU, you know, rivalry doesn't continue in some way. I would imagine it would in some form.
Well, but here's the other lens for you. You're a quarterback mom. Every time I have you on, I ask you about how the journey's going, because I know that high school quarterback moms, that's a tough journey. So how's your son's recruitment going? Do you guys have colleges that you're looking at and hearing about realignment? And does that factor in at all in anything you guys are going through? Or is he just, he's a kid, Brad. He's going to have his media day next week. You know, Corona del Sol is going to have a great season. We'll just see about the whole recruitment stuff. Where's that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the recruitment, there's been some schools that are really interested. One of them is an Ivy League school, so that's a whole nother animal.
Yep.
It's not only far away, but it's not easy to get into the school, although he seems to be maybe able to do that. So, and then there's other schools still in the fray as well, but he knows that he just has to go out and play this year. We're all excited for it. We're all excited for the season. And yeah, media day is coming next week. So yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. He's a senior. And so I know you've gone through this a number of times, and that's the weird thing. I keep thinking to myself, this senior day, this, the Friday night, that is that final home game. You know, I'm usually the pregame PA announcer, right? And I announce the families, and I kind of say, so-and-so's going here. And some of the kids write something funny, you know, some of the kids joke around. And this year it'll be me on the field. And it's just getting my mind around that, how quickly this escalated.
You're going to ball. You will ball, I think. By the way, if you need somebody to fill in and do that, I'll do it. I'm sure they'll find people. But if you guys are up against it, because you have to be there on the field beforehand. It's like last
year. I'm sure there's maybe a line of Corona people waiting. No, I don't know.
We have, of course,
notable Corona dad, Kevin McCabe, over the years.
Yeah, Kevin will do it. Somebody will do it.
Maybe, so. Yeah, somebody. I know they used to ask me, do you want to do the games? You know, do you want to, announce the games? And I'm like, there's no way I'm announcing a game my son at quarterback. I will be, if anyone... I will be like screaming. I've said this to you before. It's not when he's on offense. It's like, I allow myself, I'm kind of quiet when he's on offense, but when they're on defense, I get nuts. Cause it's just, that's my outlet. Those are not my actual children. Although a lot of them are like, you know, I'm close with them, but.
So here's anyway. A veteran move. Here's a veteran move for you. Okay. Go get an AIA credential.
I actually have one.
Do you watch the games on the sidelines?
No.
Okay. I did. I did because I got tired of hearing things being said in the bleachers. It wasn't about my kid. Cole was hurt. But I just would hear things that are like, are you kidding me? And it became a nuisance. And then you go down the sidelines, you just stand down at the 10 or 20 yard line. And you see the game differently, obviously. You know, you've been on sidelines. And you don't have to hear stuff that's like, what? Get rid of the coach. Get rid of that lineman. Block somebody. How could you miss that throw? I'm like, do you do this when they're in English and math class? Come on now, be straight. So I'm just telling you, veteran move, go on the sidelines. You'll see it differently. And you won't hear stuff. And you just go stand by yourself, you and your husband in the end zone or whatever, and it's a little,
I don't know. Well, we have our parents that were around, you know, that we've been our Connor's been friends with some of these kids since preschool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. A couple like, the punter, Malcolm Flynn. I mean, we've known them since, you know, Malcolm and Connor were 4 years old. And I mean, I can go on and on. I mean, so you don't, yeah, but I mean, we're, and then family, like that's the other thing is like our families are around us, which sometimes my husband's really not a fan of talking to anyone during the game. So there are times where certain family members will be talking about what happened to them that day or what they ate for lunch. And it gets a little dicey.
I am right there with your husband. All right. Anything else you want to add about what's going on? Because I've told people, like, you haven't done a chop up with Jody since all this stuff happened. Like, she needs to decompress. She needs to get away from it.
Yeah.
And you look great, sound great. You're in a good space. Football season's here. Hockey will figure itself out. I see on the Diamondbacks. I don't know if they're going to make it. I liked what they did at the deadline. I would have liked to have seen one more veteran arm in the rotation.
I was disappointed that they didn't get a starting pitcher, but I think that they were as well, but they just couldn't make it work within their, you know, everybody's got their limits, right? You know, and right now the offense, I guess right now it's, you can say, well, if they didn't have an arm, would it change the dynamic? But right now I really thought this offense would come roaring back and it has not yet. And so that's a bigger issue and they weren't really going to add there. I mean, Tommy Pham is in the fold. I think at this point they're just trying to shake it up, trying to make a run. They could make a run. That's what we all wish for. I just think back, I actually was looking at an old interview with Torrey Lovello in 2018 or 19, where they led the division in 18 most of the whole year. Mm-hmm. And they faded in September kind of both years. So you're kind of like, what's worse? I don't know. It's all, if you don't make the playoffs, none of it's good. But I mean, I would have told you in 18 and 19, oh yeah, they're looking good for it, you know, and then they faded at the end. And so could they make a run in at the end? It's possible.
It's just, there was too much falling on Zach when Merrill was on the injured list. Cause the young pitchers, I'm fine with some of them. I'm not gonna sit here and rip guys or whatever, but I kind of like how some of these young arms have come along. And I'm sure that teams were calling them about Henry and Nelson. I'm sure they were. And you don't want to part with young arms like that. And it's just,
I know they were calling about Alec Thomas, apparently. Yeah, that Alec was the Thomas one name too. That, and I mean, regardless of even right, I think a lot of people think he's going to become a much better hitter over the next few years. And the defense is just unquestionable, undeniable. I mean, so you ride with that as long as, you know, you ride with defense and speed. Hopefully that element of the game can come back for them with the getting on base. Because if you just don't have base runners, can't make anything happen. So hopefully that changes.
All right. I got to let you go because I have to.
All right. Thanks, Brent.
Good seeing you. Stay in touch.
Thanks for having me.
Top up. There's Jody Jackson, and we're back with more after this timeout.
Manziel Madness has spawned the nickname Johnny Football.
I thought I played better the harder I partied. 19-year-old kid, have 100 grand stuffed under your bed. It was awesome.
College football fans will remember the incredible plays that you had, especially that Alabama game. Sometimes you were pulling plays out of you know where. But your friend Nate in the process said he never saw you pick up a playbook. What was it about your game and how much of it was just backyard football and how much of it was the preparation that maybe the casual fan doesn't see at Texas A&M?
You know, I think a lot of it, you know, especially for my Heisman year, had to do with Cliff Kingsbury. You know, I think he is a guy that will always be at the very top of my list when it comes to people that had an impact on my football career and bringing me to a place to where I could go out and play what you guys got to see on Saturday. So, you know, there was such a great personal relationship between me and him that leaked over into the football side of things. And it was just seamless to be able to work that offense at Texas A&M, especially so with him. So, you know, I feel very fortunate in that. A lot of it, you know, maybe was the style of play and the backyard football. And, you know, that was kind of just how I had grown up and where I was from in Kerrville that, you know, allowed that to come out. But I will say, you know, without Cliff Kingsbury being there that first year, things would have been tremendously different.
At certain points in the documentary, you mentioned loving the Johnny Football nickname and then at certain points wanting to escape the Johnny Football nickname. Where do you stand currently with the Johnny Football moniker?
Yeah, I think Johnny Football is going to be around forever. You know, I'm going to walk down the street and somebody's going to say, "Hey, Johnny Football." They're going to, you know, somebody, it's going to happen. Or I remember this game against Alabama or this or that. So where do I stand on it? You know, I think it was a great time. Johnny Football was a great time, one that I wasn't able to make last longer. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is etched in stone. It is, you know, there is history there for college football forever. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I always will be that. I always will have that as a part of me. But, you know, as far as where I'm at in my life right now, there's not a lot of football in it.
College football players getting paid is discussed in the documentary. Obviously, college football is a very different world than it was when you were playing at that time. If NIL was a thing when you were a player, how different do you think your journey would have been at Texas A&M?
You know, it would have opened up a lot of different opportunities. You know, it would have allowed me to make probably a great deal of money just with where I was positioned at that time. In college. So, you know, it's kind of hard to do the what if a little bit now, but, you know, it would have, you know, probably given me an opportunity to make as much, if not more, than I ended up making in the NFL draft, if you're looking at just from a financial standpoint. And one that, you know, I probably would have thought long and hard about, because I did love A&M and I did love my time of being a college athlete. And I never, you know, I only got to do it for 2 years. So it was a little quick.
When you got to Cleveland, you said, "I had every single thing I could have wanted. You had money, you had fame, you were a first round pick battling for a starting quarterback position. When I had everything I wanted, I think that's when I was the most empty that I felt inside." When you come to that realization, what keeps you going?
You know, I think I look at my life in a way where, you know, I've got to live a dream. You know, I've got to go do so much in such a quick span of time at such a young age. And for me, I've looked back and I'm sitting here today at 30 years old. You know, the majority of my life is still very much ahead of me. There's still so much of the story. This is what me and Ryan Duffy talked about when we were talking through this doc is, you know, there's still so much of your life left to live, so much that you can go do with so much opportunity. I think that football has given me, you know, a platform. It's given me notoriety and given me a multitude of things. And now it's kind of for me, see what you want to do with your life, move forward, continue on that chapter, close this one football chapter and go on through the next. So I'm very, very excited and very interested to see exactly where that's going to go. But So much more life left to live.
You talk a lot about your mental health throughout the process. How would you describe your mental health journey?
It's been interesting for sure. You know, I think when I was in Cleveland, and I'm waking up some of those mornings and you just don't have it and you don't know what these feelings are, I think I'm just so much more grateful and happy to be at a place now where I can recognize what's going on, have things, you know, mechanisms and ways to cope with how you may be feeling on one certain day. Back in 2014, 2015, I didn't have that. You know, I didn't know what it was that was making me feel this way or making me feel depressed or out of funk or out of whack a little bit. And I think that's a way scarier position to be in, not knowing that you're depressed. Because how could you be? You know, how could you be depressed when you're a first round draft pick and you're in the NFL and you have all this stuff going on? And that's just not how the mental health thing works. You know, it'll come for anybody and it'll grab anybody. And if you don't, you know, have certain things in place to help get yourself out of some of those funks, it can be a lonely place.
Untold Johnny Football coming out August 8th on Netflix. Johnny, thank you so much for the time.
Appreciate you, my man.